What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. My name is Paul Abernathy, and thanks for joining us here on this podcast. Again, I have many podcasts out there, but this podcast is unique because the Ask Paul podcast allows you, the consumer, the individual learning the National Electrical Code or wanting to understand anything about electrical, it allows you to submit it to me. It might be an installation question. It might be a panel mounting question. It might be a knockouts question. It might be punching a hole in a cabinet question. It doesn't really matter. I'm an electrician for over 30 years. I got my hands dirty, very dirty for quite a few years. And I'm also a specialist in the National Electrical Code. So I can cover all areas, not to mention I was a head of electrical jurisdictions. So I also can give you the inspection aspect of everything. So send your questions. Now, where do you do that? You go over to our website, which is www.paulabernathy.com. And there you'll see a form that you fill out at the portal, and it sends it straight to me. It actually puts it in a folder specifically so I can address these questions either by email or on the air like I'm doing today in a podcast, because I want to get you answers to your question. You can find a lot of resources out there to answer your questions, but you can't always rest assured that the information you're getting is accurate. What we can guarantee is that anything that we give you here on Ask Paul, that it will be accurate. Now, this is all funded through Electrical Code Academy Incorporated, which is our parent corporation. And it allows me to be able to answer these questions and have the funding paid for by our corporation. And if you know how corporations work, it's just a matter of shifting around the responsibilities. But it allows me to address these questions. But if you want to learn the National Electrical Code in depth, then you want to check out our Fast Tracks NEC learning system. I'm telling you what, you give me 90 days, you give me 120 days, you give me 6 months, you have access to a year. You can join us on Wednesday nights for our live classes. You can ask questions no matter what it is. We will try to answer those for you. We will give you some insight. I am here as your personal guide. But you also get access to our course, which is extensive, and it will teach you the National Electrical Code. It'll make your jobs go easier. It'll make your knowledge increase. You'll have less issues on a project with inspections. You will learn the NEC. Again, every good electrician knows a little bit about the NEC. Every great electrician knows a lot about the National Electrical Code. Again, both of them go hand in hand. So if you're somebody out there that says you don't need to know code, you don't have a clue. You're just fumbling around, doing electrical work, pulling cables, pulling wire and raceways, bending conduit, and you don't even know really why you're doing it. You're just doing it. We can help you understand why you do it. So we have residential, commercial, grounding and bonding, industrial, electricity 101. We have our Fast Tracks NEC learning system, which is perfect for exam preparation or to just learn the NEC. We have all that available over at electricalcodeacademy.net.org or .com. So please check it out. All your proceeds help fund things like this. Ask Paul. All right, on today's episode, we have a question. We have two questions today, but we have a question that's very specific that's about exam prep, and we're going to be addressing this question first. And again, anybody out there, you can send your questions. Just go to the portal. It's so simple and easy. Just ask away. All right, the first question says, "Hi, Paul. I came up with a question that I can't get the right answer on in the NEC." Okay, so the question is, receptacles for central vacuums located in a garage. A, it has to be 20 amp GFCI protected. B, it can be 15 or 20 amp it can be a 15 or 20 amp receptacle. C, has to be a single receptacle twist lock type. Or D, it can be a single 20 amp receptacle. Thank you so much. And he says, by the way, I'm going to stick with answer A. So answer A says it has to be a 20 amp GFCI protected. Okay, so that would be his answer, okay? Now let's talk about that a little bit in these questions, right? So what we're gonna look at is in the National Electrical Code. So this is in a garage. And so we're gonna be looking also based on the 2020 edition of the National Electrical Code, although this question I believe was asking about the 2017 edition of the NEC, if I'm right, I think. But it's anyway, we're going to be answering it based on the 2020 edition of the NEC. Okay, first things first. What he's talking about is there's a branch circuit requirement to supply the garage, right? And it's specific needs in the garage for the receptacles that are there to supply the actual vehicle bays. Now that's in 210.52G1, but we need to have a branch circuit that is 20 amp rated that supplies those receptacles. And again, we're in the 2020 edition. So here's what it says under 210.11C4. It says garage branch circuits. It says, in addition to the number of branch circuits required by other parts of this section, and of course it means other parts of section 11, which is the small appliance branch circuits, the laundry branch circuits, the bathroom branch circuits. So in addition to those, it says at least 120 volt, 20 ampere branch circuit shall be installed to supply supply receptacle outlets required by 210.52G1. Now that is new for the 2020 code. Might have been what the intent was in the 2017 code, but it didn't limit it, that required branch circuit, at least one, to serve these specific receptacle outlets. Okay, these are for the one that's required. If you have a three-car garage, you have to have a receptacle for each vehicle bay. Okay, so you need three receptacles, and they have to supply each vehicle bay. So it has to be in the footprint of that vehicle bay, right? And so you'd need three of them. So that is 210.52 G1. However, it says that this required at least one 120 volt, 20 amp branch circuit. Of course, it assumes you have a garage, right? Okay, has to be provided with it. Okay, now it also says for attached garages and in detached garages with electric power. Okay, so if there's no electric power in your detached garage, then this is moot anyway. All right, now it says this circuit shall have no other outlets. And that means it will have no other outlets. That means no outlets that are in the ceiling for garage door openers, no outlet for the central vacuum that we're talking about in this question. None of that. Now, there is an exception that would allow me to use this circuit to feed an outdoor receptacle outlet for, let's say for a ready accessible outdoor receptacle outlet, say one that's going to be serving, let's say, HVAC or something. Right? That's an exception to that rule that allows me to do that. But it would not allow me to do the lighting outlets. It would not allow me to do anything other than the receptacles that serve the actual vehicle bays. Okay. That's what it's designed for me to serve. Now, this question is talking about an additional branch circuit. So this rule for at least one only applies to serving those receptacles that are for the vehicle bay that are required by 210.52G1. Can I have additional branch circuits in that garage? Absolutely. Do they have to be 20 amps? Absolutely not. If you have a central vac, for example, and the load says that it needs to be, or the instructions say it's be a 15 amp branch circuit, then that's perfectly fine. Now remember, it's still in a garage. You still have to meet the requirements of 210.8A2, and you have to, be GFCI protected. But that's just a protection requirement for the receptacle that's in that location. You still can have additional branch circuits in there. What's more important for folks is that it was very common to put all the receptacles in the garage and then pop up and hit the receptacles in the ceiling for use when? For the garage door openers. Under the 2020 edition of the National Electrical Code, that is not permitted to do so. But you would bring a separate branch circuit in there, and that is perfectly fine. Now, the size of that branch circuit is going to be very dependent on whatever your load is. So you have to be very aware of requirements for permissible loads in 210.23A, which is 15 and 20 amp branch circuits, and dealing with whether it's cord and plug connected equipment or whether or not it's utilization equipment fastened in place. You still got those rules you got to meet, okay? It's still a branch circuit. But to answer your question, the answer to this question would be, actually, the right answer is not really given. Now, I'll say B is the answer because it said it can be a 15 or 20 amp receptacle. That is true. But it has to be a 15 or 20 amp receptacle that is protected by a GFCI device. Okay? That's the key. That's the caveat to that. All right. Now, could it be a receptacle? Yes. Could it be a breaker? Yes. The caveat with the receptacle is that it's got to be readily accessible. So you couldn't put the GFCI device in the ceiling, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's as long as you protect it at the panel with GFCI, then that's okay. But that's all the GFCI requirements of 210.8 for the receptacle, which means that I can protect it at the receptacle, or I can protect the entire branch circuit back at the panel. The choice is really yours, okay? Because that's a receptacle requirement under 210.8, okay? And not necessarily a branch circuit requirement. So you could do that right where it, when the, you know, receptacle gets right there in the garage, and that's fine. But most people are probably going to do that back at the panel. Just protect the whole thing, all right? So anyway, hopefully that answers that question when it comes to that. So again, not all of the answers really in there. So if you made that question up yourself, it's kind of a poor question, because the only one that I guess that if I looked at it, the only one that could be code compliant would be A, because it is 20 amp GFCI protected. So that is permitted. So if I had to give you an answer, I would say B is the most accurate answer as far as the receptacles. It could be 15 or 20, but of course it requires GFCI protection in there. So I think maybe you're sticking with A because, you know, it was the only option that offered GFCI protection. Okay. And that's fine. I'm talking bigger picture, but anyway, hopefully you got something out of that. All right. So the next question that we have that's been submitted to Ask Paul, again, you can submit your questions. It says, hi, Paul, I'm a new apprentice, just hit my 1,000 hours, and I really like your podcast. Thank you for listening. It says, I'm catching up on a lot of it now. You keep mentioning that the whole house will need to be GFCI protected in the 2023 NEC. Will it be possible to just have the main breaker for the house be 200 amp or other size GFCI, or if they even make them? Or even a combination AFCI-GFCI. Only issue I could see would be the lights out on the whole house, but then battery backup lights would work. Thanks. All right, so interesting question. So I think what he's referring to is not really that I ever said that the whole house would be it. I think at the beginning of the public input stage, there was an attempt to try to get rid of the list and just make dwelling units, all the branch circuits in there be GFCI protected. That didn't pass. That didn't go through. Again, it was probably from one of our episodes where we were talking about public inputs and what the intent was and what the manufacturers might be trying to do. But ultimately, that didn't pass, right? That didn't go through. That was probably a 2020 NEC perspective type of show where I did that, okay? Now, they don't make a main breaker GFCI option that I'm aware of for a whole house, and they don't do that with AFCI either. But you never know. Manufacturers could come up with all kinds of different things as they push forward. But again, it would raise the cost, and people are adverse to things that raise costs dramatically. Although we are going to see, as normal, some expanded applications with GFCI protection, as well as some expanded applications with AFCI protection. But I am not aware of a whole house one that does that with the, you know, there might be one out there. I'm not aware of it. And I don't think most people will invest in that. So that's probably what he was asking, and that's how I was addressing it. Let's see, what else? He says the only issue you'd see would be with the lights. Well, AFCI protection is already required for the branch circuits anyway, so it's going to supply a lot of locations that is going to have the lighting, because it's not just receptacles. It's not, you know, it's outlets. So branch circuits supplying outlets. So that's both lighting outlets, receptacle outlets. It's broader. Okay, so again, there's no requirement, for example, in the dwelling unit for you to have any battery backup on any of that anyway. So you can have optional standby, but that's not required. That's purely optional. You do it if you want. Then you can follow that and put in a generator system or whatever you want. That's your choice to do that. Okay, so I don't know if that answers your question, but again, I'm not aware of any whole house system for AFCI or even GFCI. It's very, and one of the problems that would be with that, and they'd have to work through this, is the fact that GFCI devices and AFCI devices are very much used diagnostically in identifying problems in the system from the branch circuit level. So you have the branch circuit overcurrent protected device, and then again, of course, we do have feeder GFCIs as well, but typically we're using these as diagnostics, and of course the AFCIs are using it. Now, what I do like is you use the word combination AFCI-GFCI, so it lets you know that you're talking about combination AFCI, but what I want to make sure you know that there isn't a combination AFCI-GFCI, okay? I like that you use the word combination, because that's dealing with the AFCI portion. But it makes me think that you think that the combination has to do with AFCI and GFCI. That's called a dual function. It does both the function of AFCI and it does the function of GFCI. So I am proud of you. You just hit your 1,000 hours. A combination AFCI, what that's doing is that looking for characteristics of not only parallel, but series arcing conditions. That's called a combination. It's looking for both of those. The portion of it that's looking for the GFCI, that's part of what's called dual function. It does AFCI and GFCI. So anybody out there who calls a combination AFCI-GFCI, that's not truly what it is. You have what's called combination AFCIs, and then you have GFCIs. But if you put the two together in one device, then that is called a dual function. But I am proud of you that you know the word combination, and we'll just hope that you're just talking about the AFCI portion and not the GFCI portion when you say the word combination. But now I think you know crystal clear. Thank you for submitting your question. So hopefully you got something out of that, and y'all got something out of today's episode. So until next time, folks, stay safe. God bless. And remember, if you want to submit a question, doesn't matter what it is, go over to paulabernathy.com. It's a real simple form. Fill it out. Click the submit button. Get it to me, and I will answer your questions. Share it with everybody. It's a place for you to get answers to those pressing questions. Till next time, stay safe, and God bless.